AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's RUBRIK.com.
Let's roll. This is Sports Rage. I am Gabriel Morenci. The Pits, the Players, the Hustlers, the Podcasters, the people that bust them, and everybody else in between. We're back. We were in Los Angeles for Game 5 of the World Series. A Game 5 that the Toronto Blue Jays easily won, and now the Toronto Blue Jays are one win away from their first championship in 32 years. The City of Toronto's first championship since 2019, and the Toronto Raptors. And it would be quite the feather in the cap to get a World Series title, an NBA championship. And it would just exasperate and put even more pressure on a Toronto Maple Leaf team that sees, like, the other teams in the city find ways to get it done. But they haven't gotten it done yet, right? It's the first of four, not the first of three. And I understand the enthusiasm right now. And honestly, the way that both these teams are playing right now, it's hard to, you know, it's hard to not see the Blue Jays sort of finding a way once again. But I don't know. Sometimes the change of venue can do teams good. The Los Angeles Dodgers clearly could not hit at Dodger Stadium. It's been a problem for them in the entire series, actually. The big difference is the station is, the Dodgers aren't really hitting, but when they do hit, they hit solo home runs. And like the Blue Jays, they hit the two solo home runs to start the game the other day. But for the most part, like the Jays had five home runs with, you know, multiple scores on where they, you know, they would hit the home run. And the Dodgers kept on hitting solo home runs, and out of pitching is collapsing. The Dodgers bullpen blows. So there's a lot lined up against the Dodgers, but they've got their best pitcher on the hill, Yamamoto, on Friday night, and he wins. Then we go seven. And it would be pretty crazy. Glasnow versus Max Scherzer in a game seven. Let's bring in Rob Vino, who is a Dodger fan. We got Cam Stewart in Toronto, who is a Blue Jay fan. Rob, our backs are up against it. I kind of thought we'd be the ones up 3-2 at this point, but we're not. It is what it is. No one said it was going to be easy.
No. Although the series price tag before it started would have indicated that it was going to be easy, right? Dodgers better than, or about a 2.5-1 favorite before the series went off. And then when they got to the 2-1 lead and no George Springer, you're thinking, well, it makes it even easier for LA. And Toronto rose up and, you know, found a way to get two wins here. It's not good that, you know, Dave Roberts is experimenting with the lineup. Andy Páez can't hit the ball other than pop out or go to short left. Alex Call has to play. We got to take Mookie out of the two hole and put Will Smith in there, et cetera, et cetera. I think Dodger problem offensively, not really getting men on base, but driving those guys home. They had a couple of opportunities in that game four to really do some damage and didn't get it done. So you're right, Gabe. You know, the old saying in baseball is you're only as good as your next day's pitcher. And this pitcher that the Dodgers have on the hill tonight is the one that they would want there in this situation. So we'll see if Yamamoto can get it done against Kevin Gausman.
And also, I think at times, not so much for the Dodgers. I don't think the Dodgers get too overhyped at home. I think they get too chill at home. And I was there. Dodger fans are pretty spoiled, right, and used to winning. What's going on is kind of a surprise when guys aren't doing well. But I was surprised. It's the first time in a long time I've been a Dodger game when people were booing them. And early in the game, like, people were booing Mookie Betts. I was in right field right behind Hernandez. People were nice to Hernandez at the start of the game, but he kept on, like, screwing up out defensively. And it got to the point where he didn't even turn around and look at the crowd anymore. The crowd was heckling him. Like, people are sort of getting mad at LA. I think they're a little bit overly spoiled. But at the same point in time, Toronto is going to be lit. Like, I saw this. This is, it really reminds me. It's almost all over again, guys. In which the Raptors were up 3-1. The Raptors were up 3-1 on the Warriors. And I went to the game, Rob. I was in New York, but I flew into Toronto. I'm a big Raptor fan. I want to see them win the championship and stuff. And the city of Toronto hadn't won a championship since the Blue Jays. So there was like this like weird like energy in the air. There were like the cops. There was like thousands of riot cops outside before the game, which I thought kind of like trolled them a bit. It was like, I don't know. You guys haven't won yet. I wouldn't be putting like, you know, cops out here yet. So it just had that feeling of like, oh, my God. Like, all right, this is it. Hey, the championship. And here we go again. So like there's a lot of pressure. And then, you know, at times I think the Jays can get caught up in it at home a little bit. So I actually think the Dodgers can get it done tonight. Like, I'm not like, oh, yeah, we're completely done. I worry about a game seven, but I actually think that we are going to go seven. I think the Dodgers offense will be better on the road now that they've got nothing to lose. And I think the Blue Jays could be tight tonight, but this Blue Jay team doesn't really get tight. And this Blue Jay team, 1 through 9, is just rolling along, Cab, and playing as a team. It's a true team collective effort. And Pilar brought it up before, and I retweeted Pilar. I talked about it because I thought it was fitting that, you know, Pilar said it. And Pilar said, listen, I've been on both teams, right? So, like, Kevin Pilar, longtime Blue Jay, very popular Blue Jay. And Kevin Pilar was on the Dodgers a couple of years ago. Not, you know, just for a year type of thing. And he said, I know that clubhouse. Like, he didn't know Ohtani, but he knew everyone else. He's like, you know, I played with Betts. I played with Mookie. I played with all those guys. And I played with the Blue Jays. And he said, the Dodgers players get along well. He goes, it's not like there's not friction in the room. But he goes, it's not like a big team type of thing. He said, like, the Dodger players are more, it's more individualistic. And they're a bunch of superstars, right? And they all have their own thing going on in their own lives. And like, they sort of, you know, it's like 9 players, 9 limousines type thing. The Blue Jay players hang out together, like type thing. Like, the Blue Jay players go bowling together. They drink together in the hotel. Like, it's just that sort of like team versus star thing. And it kind of shows, like, you can kind of see it. Like, when things don't go well, everyone on the Dodgers kind of on their own. No one like, hey, don't worry about it. Just get on base and we'll pick you up. It's kind of like, hey, we're expecting you to like take over now, right? This is what you're supposed to do. And when it doesn't happen, you can see like it kind of falls apart that they don't. And Tommy Edman, sort of like a glue type guy, he's not hitting the ball now. So like they don't have sort of the non-star guys that can sort of bridge this right now. But the Blue Jays, Cab, they're just playing like a team of destiny, like different players, Clement, Bargers of the world, like, everybody's just making plays. David Schneider leads off the game with the home run. Yeah, like everybody's just contributing on this team. Then the pitchers, too.
Great call, Morenci. I've never seen anything like it, guys, because let's remember in 92 and 93, the Blue Jays were an all-star team owned by a beer company. They wanted a pitcher. They went out and got one. They needed a base dealer. You get Ricky Henderson. You want a utility player. They go and get guys. Anybody they needed, they picked up. They had money. This team has been built from the get-go. Gabe, you talked about it a long time ago, 25 years. Big John Stud Schneider's been in the organization watching these guys grow, and a lot of these guys have rode buses, and they're not afraid of the moment right now. Bottom line is this, Yamamoto's amazing. How do you get to the Dodgers pitchers? You get to them early. Exactly what happened with Snell. Bang, bang. Then you're up 2-0, and then it gets fired up. But this guy's a special pitcher. It's going to be very, very difficult for the Jays. From a betting perspective, Gabe, I see a 14-1 with Yamamoto. If he shuts them down, he could be the guy. Hard to get. Like, if he has 2 brilliant performances like that, he's probably the reason. I'm not sure if that's going to happen. Probably they'd give it to Ohtani, but it's a nice price. I think it's going to be a classic game tonight. Looking at the under 7.5 right now with 2 good pitchers, but I think the Blue Jays can get it done. And yeah, we'll have a party tonight. I'll go nuts, Morenci. This is unbelievable stuff. Whatever happens, as I said, I'm proud of this team. They've really, really overachieved.
I tell you, Rob, when I went to the game, I was on the plane and basically like everybody was going to the baseball game. Everybody was pulling for the Toronto Blue Jays. The pilot, like basically go Jays, like, it really is. People don't realize it. It's like a country versus a city type of deal. Like, there are literally, you know, it's going to be like 12 million people watching the game in Canada tonight. And it's just the amount of enthusiasm. It's insane. You know, it reminds me of the Raptors was a certain way, but the Blue Jays are bigger than the Raptors are. So it's even just larger. Like, it's just larger than life entity that the Blue Jays are right now. But like I said, I don't think we're fully done here. I'm not ready to. I'm not waving any white flags. They didn't play well in L.A. I really legitimately think that the offense is going to show up tonight. in Toronto. Will the Blue Jays, and you know it, Rob, one thing with Yamamoto, as good as he is, and he's amazing, his shakiest, the time to get to him is early in the game, right? He'll often give up a home run in the first inning. He'll get into a jam in the first inning, and then he'll calm down, and he won't give up anything. We've seen this time and time again with him. He's almost going to have to find a way to be perfect all the way through.
Yeah, and the same goes for Kevin Gausman, Gabe, because everything you just described only heaps pressure on Kevin Gausman, the starting pitcher for the Jays. I think the good news for Yamamoto is he's pitched in this venue already. He's pitched in front of a raucous crowd already, did his job. So I don't think the venue will make him or rattle him per se. See a little bit of money coming in here on Toronto. I guess plus price is attractive with this team at home. But the toughest game is always the clincher, right? It's always that finale. Winning four is difficult. And you just wonder with this group of Jays that have never been there, done that. I know this exterior factor comes into a lot of handicaps. Can they pull it off? We'll see. But the Dodgers can't make the mistakes, Gabe. I mean, let's face it. They're bailed out on a few errors the game that they won. Tommy Edman lets a ball go through him, but they got bailed out. Teoscar makes an error last game, doesn't get bailed out. It's an interesting game. I think Dodger miscues have hurt them more than anything, and they've got to stay away from. Let's face it, if we see Blake Treinen, series over. If we see even Banda's not throwing anybody out of that pen other than the 18-inning game where they couldn't miss for a bunch of innings. It's been an interesting series. Baseball can turn around in a heartbeat. I do think the Dodgers win tonight, but game seven, all hands on deck, is the one I'm a little bit concerned about right now.
That was my, and I'm not dismissing tonight. I'm nervous about tonight, but that was my initial feel even right after the game. I was like, you know, Yamamoto will get it done. We'll find a way on Friday, and then who knows? Like, I don't know what to expect from Glass now on a game seven on the road. Scherzer's been really good, right? So you would figure, well, okay, you know, they got to throw Max Scherzer out in a game seven, but Scherzer's look really good so far. So, I know, let's see what happens tonight. But the Dodgers have brought this upon themselves, as you stated. You know, they don't make a lot of defensive mistakes, usually, the Dodgers, but they have in this series. They're, you know, you could tell that they're feeling the pressure a little bit, but I honestly do believe getting away from L.A., not because of the Dodger fan pressure, but because of the Toronto pressure. Like the Jays, man, like just driving into the stadium or walking in, like the players that live across the street and stuff, like they're going to feel all this. They're going to know, like, dear God, this city's going to explode if we win tonight. And they are damn close, but it's been a hell of a run. It's been a great series. The Dodgers got up to minus 500 when they were up. So the Blue Jays were paying as high as plus 375. Now it's the Blue Jays minus 240, Dodgers plus 195 to win the series. And the price for the game tonight, LA Dodgers minus 140, Gausman and the Blue Jays are plus 120. And man, the fans in Toronto have been pretty lit. I will say too, like for the most part, they were kind of nice, but Blue Jay fans are kind of like, were pretty jerk-like, to be honest. Like, they were talking a lot of smack to Dodger fans after. Like, they're running their mouth quite a bit. So I wouldn't mind seeing, like, a really little wake-up call for them. But it is what it is. You know, fans are going to talk smack when their teams are winning in the championship. It's all good. But the city of Toronto, we saw, like, if you remember last week, Rob, like, there was a Colonel Sanders behind home plate. Like, you had George St. Pierre, the former UFC champion. You had a dude dressed up as Colonel Sanders. There's some jackass that wears a cheese head on his head and has a sparkly suit on all the time. Like, Toronto is like a wannabe LA. Like, so, like, everybody's trying to get on TV in Toronto, right? They're not just going to the game. They're, like, buying a ticket behind home plate and, like, hey, look at me. I'm going to dress like Colonel Sanders. Now, tonight, it's Halloween. Like, it's going to be an effing circus back there. Like, that entire stadium, the entire city of Toronto is going to be a circus tonight. You have people going out for Halloween that don't even care about, like, baseball, right? Like, man, like, the entire city is just going to be, whoa. So you're going to have that pressure. Listen, if they win, it's going to be one of the greatest nights in Toronto in history, right? Halloween will always be remembered. Halloween 2025, the championship. And like I said, the only one is missing if they get it done would be the Maple Leafs. And you know, it just puts so much more pressure on the Leafs, too.
And that's not good. They don't deal with pressure very well.
Because now it'd be like, all right, listen, the baseball team won, the basketball team won, and you're the ones that are supposed to win more than they are, even. Like, you're supposed to be better. Like, in your league, you're technically better than the other teams were. But, yeah, wild stuff. I'm going to predict. So, Rob, sounds like you say we're going 7. I'm going to say we go 7. And what's your prediction, Cam?
4-2, the Jays. I think we get it done tonight. You don't want to see a game 7 against this team. I just think they can feed off the energy of the crowd. If Gausman is good early, I think he'll maintain it. You got to get to Yamamoto early, as we all talked about. 4-2 Jays. And that is my prediction. Party tonight, Morenci, in Toronto. It'll be off the chain. By the way, there's a symmetry to Colonel Sanders. He passed away in Mississauga, where I live, and it's called the Colonel Sanders Ward. He basically gave all his money to the Mississauga Hospital. He died in Mississauga.
Yeah, but the costumes are going to be rolling out tonight. It's just going to be, like, over the top.
So, yes. Like,
over the yes. top in Toronto. So, all right, so we got the CFL playoffs, not just the World Series. Canada is rocking this weekend. The Winnipeg Blue Bombers, the crossover, are in Montreal. They moved the start times up earlier to avoid conflict with a Game 7 of the World Series, but they should have moved them up even earlier. Like, I don't know why it's starting at 2 o'clock. Like, it started at noon type of deal. Like, they should have started these earlier because the Calgary-BC game would cut into the World Series. But BC and Calgary are the late game, but the first game up, Rob, 2 o'clock Eastern, Winnipeg Blue Bombers, Montreal Alouettes. And it's Montreal -6 right now, total 48.5.
Yeah, as much as I want to take 6 with Winnipeg just because they're good at mucking up games, and from what I saw, Gabe, could be some weather that affects this game in Montreal tomorrow, rain, wind, whatever. Not fierce wind, but just not your crystal clear day in Montreal. I think the problem for Winnipeg is they played Montreal twice this year. Davis Alexander didn't play any game against them. That favors Montreal. But again, and I think when you're Montreal, you can stack against Brady Oliveira and force Caleros to throw good receivers, but he hasn't been the best in the passing game this year. So those things favor Montreal. But I just come back to the fact that Winnipeg has this knack of getting these games to be lower scoring, of getting these games to be a little closer than maybe they should be, despite their shortcomings. Total here is 49.5. And I just think it's going to be an under game. I don't think you're going to see this up and down the field type of contest here between these two. For Winnipeg, just in reading a couple of articles this week, they favor dropping 8, dropping 9 into coverage, which Alexander could have a little bit of trouble with because Montreal doesn't run the ball all that well. But I have a little faith that he'll make at least one home run play. I don't think this game reaches 50 points, Gabe. So for me, and it doesn't come out of my mouth that often, I think under in a defensive battle in that first game is probably the way to go.
Montreal has to be careful here. Yeah, they're at home, but as you stated, the Winnipeg Blue Bombers know how to get it done. They know how to win in the playoffs in the CFL. They're going to run the ball. It's going to be a smash-mouth game. The Alouettes don't have an explosive offense. They're good, but it's not like they go up and down the field. And the thing with Winnipeg is they are really driven by this whole crossover thing, right? Like, they don't mind it, like, basically. They said, all right, we like the challenge of this. And I think what they really mean by that is if we could beat the Montreal Alouettes, we're going to beat Hamilton, and we're going to go to the Grey Cup, mm-hmm. right? Like, I think they see Hamilton waiting, and they like that better, right, than playing BC and having to play the Saskatchewan Roughriders. This is an easier path. Yeah, Montreal are tough, but you get past Montreal, no disrespect to Hamilton, but beating Montreal and Hamilton isn't as hard as like going through the gauntlet in the West, especially let's say Alexander or something happens. Like, you know what I mean? Like, so Winnipeg just think we got a real shot at this. I'm weary. I think Montreal are going to win, but I'm not really in a hurry to be laying 6 points with them. I think it'll be a close game. What's your pick, Cam, for the Bombers and the Alouettes?
And Gabe, like you and Vino with unders, you know, you try to avoid teasers, but I think Montreal will find a way to win, and it's up to 6.5 on my book on FanDuel. So you take them. No, you don't even have to do a 7. You do a 6, and BC's 5.5. both teams to move on. And I agree with Vino. I think it's going to be a lower scoring game. Montreal will find a way, but I don't see points. Yeah, so I'll do a two-game teaser too with the 6 points. Montreal to get it done and BC to get it done, but I think Montreal will win the game under as well.
Calgary, you got Vernon Adams versus Nate Rourke, so they're going head-to-head. And the Stampeders getting 5 points in this game. The total is 55. BC have, like, they really lit Calgary up during the regular season, which BC have to be careful about. Like, it's just subconsciously thinking, wow, we drilled these guys a couple of times. You know Calgary's going to be bringing it in this game. You know Vernon Adams wants it. But BC are the better team. Calgary started off strong, and BC did not. So these teams have been going in different directions, so to speak, for the last month or so. What do you think of that one, Rob, with the Stamps getting 5, total 55 in there?
Yeah, one of those played-out adages, Gabe, is it's tough to beat a team 3 times. But BC beat Calgary senseless twice, and I don't know that winning by 7 here is, or even 6, is out of the realm of possibility. I kind of like BC here. Calgary could be without both their starting offensive tackles, which would make Betts and company's eyes light up as far as pressuring Vernon Adams. And I've seen enough of Vernon Adams this year to know that when he's under pressure, he's not been good. Dedrick Mills, the running game is nice. They don't necessarily have – you talked about Montreal not being explosive. That Calgary receiving core is not explosive. Philpott, okay, but I don't find that to be a depth-driven explosive wide receiving core. Nathan Rourke is probably, all due respect to Davis Alexander, in my mind, Nathan Rourke's the best quarterback left here. He can make plays outside the pocket. If they break down, he's going to make plays. And BC has just been on a roll for a while now. So offensively, I don't think Calgary can keep up. I think BC can do what they've done twice already against this team. I got it the first time it happened. The VA revenge type thing wants to get it, but I just don't think they're good enough here. So I'm heavily on BC in that game.
Cam, what do you think of BC and Calgary?
I like BC. I like the over in this game. I know we talked about two huge games before getting over 60, over 70. We're seeing a 54.5. Good call, Gabe. You say get it. Well, it was 53.5, already 54.5 on my books. So, yeah, I like the over, and I like the BC Lions to get it done. Yeah, I think they'll cover too.
Yeah, Bet365 is up to 55 right now, and I told people earlier in the week it'll only end up going higher. So speaking of totals, I'm looking at college football top 25 right now, and I've been in more baseball mode this week. Obviously, I've been on the road, and I've been thinking about the World Series a lot, so I haven't capped college football that much for this weekend yet. I'm going to have to jump in this afternoon because we have the baseball game tonight. We got a college football show in the morning. But looking at Miami and SMU, you got a total of 50.5 up. You got a 44.5 Penn State and Ohio State. You got a 46.5 Vanderbilt and Texas. A lot of low totals, like in college. Virginia, at least top 25 action. Virginia, West Virginia and Houston, 48.5 Louisville and Virginia Tech, 52.5 The Maryland game against Indiana, 50.5 you got 50.5 for Georgia and Florida. 51.5 Texas Tech, K-State. Some pretty lower price totals, it seems to me, Rob, with the top 25.
Well, the one out of all of those that you mentioned that I bet and that jumps out at me, Gabe, is Texas Tech, Kansas State over 51.5. I mean, on a weekly basis, I'm betting Kansas State overs, and I will kick myself to the end of time for not being on K-State Kansas over last week. I saw reports of steady rain throughout the game. It did rain. I backed off of what was a low number to me, 56, and there's 21 points in the first 6 minutes. Baron Morton's back at QB for Texas Tech here. For the K-State side, Dylan Edwards is out, but they've had to play without Dylan Edwards quite a bit this year. Just not a good defense. Think Texas Tech, K-State gets over. The Miami game, Gabe, I have little to zero faith in SMU and Kevin Jennings to move the football against a defense that's that disruptive. Saw it last year against Penn State when SMU made the college football playoff. Kevin Jennings hasn't improved one iota, in my mind, as the quarterback of SMU. And in fact, I think the SMU offense has gone backwards here. They've got a couple of defensive injuries, too. Numbers big, but I'm inclined to bet Miami of Florida, who really needs. And you know what? They have a path right now to get themselves into the ACC championship game. Virginia could very well lose to Cal. Maybe Georgia Tech loses here tomorrow against NC State. They're possible. So I like I like Miami more as a side play than total. One that you didn't mention that I think, you know, I use the phrase until further notice quite a bit, but until further notice, just bet Tennessee games over. 55 against Oklahoma tomorrow. Oklahoma showed last week that, you know, they kind of taunted Lane Kiffin and said they couldn't move the football against OU. And then Lane Kiffin went out and his offense devoured Oklahoma. It's the first time they've played that type of explosive offense all season long. Tennessee under Josh Heupel with Joey Aguilar, a quarterback, same thing. So I think over 55 in that one looks pretty good to me.
I thought you were going to bring up the Bearcat game against Utah because you got a 55 and a half there. But Cincinnati, guys, not getting a lot of respect this year for a football team that they lost to Nebraska and they haven't lost since, right? They lost that first game of the year, and they could have won that game. They threw a pass into the end zone, and if it was caught, they would have won. People aren't really talking about the Cincinnati Bearcats enough. Getting 10 points in Utah, to me, that spread is just a little bit too high. The Oklahoma-Tennessee game is an interesting one. I like the Vols to win there. You got USC going to Nebraska. Weather or something. What about that one, Rob? Weather, obviously, we're going to have to keep our eye on that. You got a total of 60 and a half there.
Yeah, I checked Lincoln yesterday, and it looked pretty good for Saturday. And the number at that time was 59, Gabe. And now, as you say, 60 and a half. So I think people have moved on that game. USC, just another one of those teams that's going to score points on you no matter who you are. Nebraska's going to have to keep up. USC only does one good thing on defense, right? They get to the quarterback. They are up there in sacks. But other than that, if they don't get to your quarterback, you can beat that team as far as getting into the end zone is concerned. So I liked over 59 at the time, 60 and a half, a little bit of a different thing. Let me just say real quick a couple others that have my attention. Temple has gone under the radar. The improvement under Casey Keeler, tremendous. 57 and a half against ECU tomorrow probably gets over. And I will go back to my old staple. They had the week off last week. But Air Force, Gabe, listed at 49, obviously on reputation because it's a military game. We'd had the Air Force Navy game earlier this year that went way into the 70s. 49 seems way too low there as well.
Rob Vino kicking with us just for a couple of more moments. Cam Stewart in the house. So we are now 100 days away from the Super Bowl. Pretty crazy, but the countdown is on. 100 days until the Super Bowl right now. So the National Football League season is rolling along. Looking at Sunday's card, you got the Falcons are in Foxborough, the Patriots 5.5-point favorites, Carolina at Green Bay, 13-point favorites, the Bears and Bengals, Bears 2.5-point road faves, Houston Texans lay 1.5 hosting the Denver Broncos. Indianapolis and Pittsburgh, one of the higher-profile games of the day. Colts -3 on the road against the Pittsburgh Steelers. Chargers lay 10 in Tennessee. Vikings get 8.5 against the Detroit Lions with J.J. McCarthy coming back. 49ers, 2.5-point road favorites in at MetLife Stadium against the Giants. Jags and Raiders. Jags, 2.5-point favorites on the road in Vegas. Saints get 14 with Tyler Shuck at quarterback against the Rams. Game of the day, the Kansas City Chiefs, 1.5-point road favorites against the Buffalo Bills. You know, all right. So I'm somewhat surprised. Just a couple of weeks ago, Rob, that people were thinking that the Chiefs were kind of done. Now they're actually favorites on the road against the Buffalo Bills. I know the Bills have struggled a little bit, but still, I'm surprised that it's not the Bills -1.5. Cam Seahawks, 3-point road favorites, Sunday night football in Washington. So your teams are on TV, Cam. You got the Blue Jays, and then you got Sunday night football with the Seahawks.
It's unbelievable, Gabe. No, and the Seahawks have been amazing to me. I don't think the market has really understood how well they're playing. McDonald has done a great job with the defense. Witherspoon will be back in this game. Not sure who's quarterbacking the Commanders. I remember the last time Seattle played Washington, guys, just my memory, way a long time ago. It ended Robert Griffin's career. They played them in a playoff game. I hope that doesn't happen. I'm just going to tell you this, Gabe. I think the Seahawks deserve respect. It's a 3-point spread. I get it. Washington's a home dog, but Cooper Kupp's playing better. JSN's a monster. Darnold's getting protection, and the defense is surprisingly getting tons of pressure on the quarterback. They murdered C.J. Stroud. They've been really, really ball-hawking. I like the Seahawks in that spot, buddy. And I like the Bills as well. Give me the Bills +1.5.
What do you think of the NFL, Rob?
Couple of things here, Gabe. I think that Denver-Houston game, and again, you're going to hear under out of my mouth twice in one segment, which is really rare, but Denver-Houston under 40.5. Two of the absolute best pressure units in the NFL. Denver, I think, leads league in sacks. Houston not far behind. Look at Houston's schedule this year, Gabe, and just look at their results. People are making a real big deal about the Texans tearing up the 49ers last week, who were without like six defensive starters. They murdered that team, got over 400 yards offense, and they also murdered the Baltimore Ravens, who were without six defensive starters. Other than that, the offensive line can't protect. They can't run block. C.J. Stroud's under pressure. Denver's going to be all over him. And I just don't buy into, I say it all the time, I'll say it again, I don't buy into Bo Nix against good defenses. I don't buy into Sean Payton's offenses against elite defenses. I think Houston has their way with them. So under 40.5, barring, you know, multiple turnovers that lead to points. Quickly here, Joe Flacco's going to play. On Sunday, just announced Cincinnati Bengal team total, 23.5. Have to play that over. Cincinnati scores on everybody. They'll score on the Bears. KC Buffalo, think that game goes over. I'm very concerned on the Buffalo side about Ed Oliver being out for the season. If KC can run the football a little bit along with the receiving core that they have right now, that game probably gets over. I think Josh Allen can keep pace. Don't know who wins it, but it should be an over. Last one real quick here. I had one more. Oh, the 49ers. I think the 49ers team total. San Francisco's shown to be able to score points, even though their defense is banged up. Giants defense not very good. So the 49ers, I think that team total was 24.5. So those are four off the top of my head that I really like.
And speaking of overs, we'll get Rob out of here in a couple of minutes here. But NBA basketball, guys, anybody that's paying attention to the start of the NBA, these games have been track meets. And the odds makers are having a hard time. The lines makers are having a hard time keeping up. They keep jacking the totals, but they still go over the number. And this is a very distinctive early run right now. 44-28, 61.1%, Rob, to the over in the NBA so far this year. How you been cashing?
Yeah, we cashed immediately the first three or four nights, Gabe. And it is, like you say, it's interesting to see the odds makers posting all these totals. Very close to 240, if not above 240. We usually don't get to that point until we're a month into the season, but you have to get to that here. Teams like the Miami Heat, right, are now number one in pace. That team is number one in pace in the NBA, which is kind of crazy. Everybody wants to run. The Orlando Magic wants to run, et cetera, et cetera. Tonight, if you're just looking at the card, the combo of Tyrese Maxey and VJ Edgecombe for Philadelphia has brought new life to that city. They run up and down the floor. Boston's a bunch of three-point shooters. Jaylen Brown even commented on the Celtics, Gabe, and said, I feel more like I'm on a track team than a basketball team. So 233.5 seems to be one you could take advantage of there up and over.
And the National Hockey League is the same thing, which is pretty wild. And it's not quite as distinctive. I mean, 61%, that's a high number. But the NHL has been playing. They played more games. And we're starting to get a pretty big sample size. Coming into the Friday night, we're at 93 games. 55.7% to the over. There's been 93 overs, 74 unders. So, like, the NHL has been playing. And the other, there's another big trend in the NHL. So it's kind of been simple. The favorites. The favorites have won 56.8% of the time. Away favorites have won 55.2% of the time. Home favorites have won 57% of the time. Home dogs have only won 44.8% of the time. Like, you know, it's kind of the keep it simple, stupid theory right now in the NHL. Bet on the better team and bet on the over, and you're making money so far. We've got a 56%, 256% treads, and a 61 so far to the over. In the NBA. And then finally, in closing, I don't know, I said I got some research to do for college football this weekend, and hell, even the NFL. I mean, we've been in World Series mode this week. But Rob, Monday, we got a full slate of college basketball games as well. Oh boy, another sport to add to the rotation.
Yeah, it's crazy, Gabe. I'm part of a Wager Talk college hoop show now. You can't, I mean, the look of my office desk here with the amount of material that's scattered all over the place to try and get to every one of these things. But Monday we do start a show called Full Court Press on Monday. Colleagues of mine, Adam Trigger, host Brian Power on the panel with me. There's like 130 games on Monday, Gabe. It's absolutely crazy. And I'll tell you real quick, just a little inside, 360 bettable college basketball teams. We had to split the country into thirds. So I'm responsible for 120 teams on Monday. Not that we'll talk about all of them, but we do open it up to a forum. Guys can ask questions. I'm going to be awfully busy this weekend.
Wow. Yeah, 360 teams now. That's why, like, when people get, like, oh, the tournament shouldn't expand. Well, the thing is, we have a lot more teams now, right? So, like, the percentage of teams that make the NCAA tournament isn't what it used to be, but a lot of these new teams aren't really tournament worthy, right? So it sort of goes both ways. But, man, it's just, yeah, there's too many teams. There's too many games. Right. It's overwhelming. I guess, yeah, you guys did it smartly where you take different parts of the country, basically. And you know, because, yeah, 300. How the hell are you supposed to know? Think about it, Rob. You got, like, 15 guys on each team. So you're supposed to know 350 times 15 players? Like, it's impossible. You can't know about
with the transfer portal and the coaching moves, Gabe. The transfer portal and the coaching moves, it just compounds everything.
Wild.
It's interesting. Real quick, a side note to college basketball. Remember, Gabe, it's not that long ago where John Calipari used to bring in five new freshmen every year, right? And have to mesh five new freshmen when he was at Kentucky. And it's like there's 75 teams that do that now. They go to the portal, get five new guys, and you got to mesh them all. It's tough to tell early on who's going to be good and who's not.
I sort of just do it in chunks of the day. So I'll go through it, Rob. Right, I'm not hosting a specific college basketball show, but I should be more up to date than I am so far. But basically, you know what I mean? I'm just going to go, all right, here's the early. And we've got games on Monday at 8 a.m. I mean, Quinnipiac and Winthrop, 8 a.m., 11 a.m. Like, this thing is going to be going all day long. We got a couple of high-profile ones, too. Florida playing Arizona on Monday. So there's a couple of big-time games. But, yeah, man, there's a new sport in the rotation. The worlds have officially collided, guys. You know, there's always something to bet on now. And, like, now with college basketball, there's just hundreds of more games now, Kim.
Oh, it's nuts. I don't even know what to do, Gabe. I'm just focused on the World Series like you. We got the NFL. We got college football. We got this. Yeah, I'm looking at the 365 Mississippi Valley State, the New Haven, Coppin State. I'm getting a headache already. Please, enough.
Guys, hey, real quick, all due respect to you guys, because I don't even handicap hockey and you guys do. So to the people who do it all, I have to kind of tip my hat because I couldn't do it.
Yeah, and I've been capping NCAA hockey as well. Not as much as I'd like, but when I can, you know, when I see I write the games, there's angles in the NCAA, but we'll get into that as we move forward. But yeah, the sports, we talked about the sports equinox the other night. I'm sure it'll happen again, right, where all the leagues are in action, because it really is colliding right now, for real, real. Like, you consider college basketball, CFL playoffs, NBA, NHL, NCAA hockey, college football, NFL, the MLS playoffs are going on, right? I mean, man, and we got the World Series. Hopefully for two more days, we'll see what happens tonight. So, Cam, well, whatever happens, you're going to go out to watch the game in your area, or you're going downtown?
Right now I'm in my area, and I think I am going to go downtown. But the problem with that is, Gabe, we do a show tomorrow morning, and that's going to be a tricky situation if I stay over at Lisa's and get back for the college show. So maybe I'll keep it local tonight. But whatever happens is going to happen, Gabe. If the Jays win, it's going to be an absolute wicked party. If your Dodgers win, you and Vino, we got a Game 7, and we know we love Game 7. So it's going to be a wicked night. I can't wait. Hope it's a good baseball game, buddy.
You figure it'd be fun downtown, but I would stay away if I was you.
Yeah, I got to work with you tomorrow, and I know what's going to happen down there. It's going to get wild. Like, they're going to be, like, riots and stuff. Like, I was there downtown the other game, Gabe, and people were hanging out of cars. Like, when they beat Seattle, it was a friggin', like, it was madness. And Lisa lives right near the Dome, Rob. Like, my girlfriend's, like, literally walking distance, and it's a crowded area. There's going to be people pulling over cop cars and stuff. You're right, Gabe. It's probably
it'll be a
here.
Happy. I don't think it'll be a riot. Yeah. It'll be a happy celebration, but it'll still be a pain in the ass. Like,
yeah,
there's going to be cops everywhere. They're going to shut streets down. I'm just staying late.
Remember when the Raptors won, Gabe? They took the cop cars and rolled them over, and the guy in CP12, help, help, help me, guys. I'm getting attacked. Like, people were, like, going nuts. And, yeah, they're not as good as Philadelphia, Rob. They don't grease up the poles. But people in Toronto like to get liquored up and do dumb stuff, too.
But you never know. I don't know. I mean, it's been 32 years, right? So, like, and the Jays are pretty big. Like, God knows, who knows what will happen if they win. I'm hoping they don't, at least tonight. Let's get this thing to game seven. All right, so it's good to be back with the podcast. I know we got a lot of requests when we were gone. What happened? I told you guys we're going to be gone for a couple of days, but we're back. So we'll see you on TV on Friday night, Saturday, college football. Rob, hopefully we got a game seven coming up. Best of luck with your research for college basketball. You better start doing it with 120 teams. Yeah, that you're covering, and good luck, Cam. We'll see you Saturday.
You got it, Gabe. We'll have a lot of fun, and let's see what happens tonight. Can't wait.
All right, I'm going to predict that the Dodgers I'm going to say my teams win. I think the Bills aren't getting any love. I say the Bills will beat the Kansas City Chiefs. They always beat them in a regular season, and they always lose in the playoffs. So give me the Bills to beat the Kansas City Chiefs. Dodgers win tonight. It goes seven. And let's talk about that game, hopefully, tomorrow. But I do think the Dodgers are going to find a way to get this thing done tonight with Yamamoto on the hill. Other than that, you're on your own. May the winners be yours. Later.